Now, what I want to say about as we get into looking at 1 John at the end of his book is it seems he has a strange ending. Or maybe it's not so strange. But his end of his book is about keeping us from idols. That seems like an interesting way for him to end his book, where he has been so immersed in showing us Jesus Christ. So in 16, if you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying that you should pray about that. Now what? Okay, clearly he's saying if we have a brother or sister who sins, and it's a sin that does not lead to death, pray for them. But if it's a sin that does lead to death, I'm not necessarily saying you should pray for that. What does John mean by that? But I think the important thing, I'm going to leave that as a hanger because we need God to show us what exactly does he mean by that. There, we could take some guesses. If we reject Jesus Christ, if we reject the Holy Spirit, there is a part in the Bible that says that's not forgivable. And I have wrestled with that because our forgiving God would not forgive that, but that's not really what's happening. What's being said is, if we shut down on Jesus Christ, we're choosing to reject him. How could that be forgivable? We don't have the heart to receive forgiveness. We don't have an open heart to receive Jesus Christ. If we're so adamantly closed off, and there are people who are, and there will be people to the end of time who adamantly, staunchly refuse Jesus Christ, refuse him till the end. The reason they will die in spirit is because they're not open to getting his forgiveness. They're not open to receiving him. So the warning is, if you close off, the only reason there's no hope for you is your own doing. Not because we don't have a loving God. You understand that? And I believe this here line is very similar when John is saying, if they have sinned a sin that is going to end in death, which is reject Jesus, I'm not saying you should necessarily pray for that. We do pray intercession for people, for the Holy Spirit to convict their hearts. We do pray for Jesus to change people. We do pray for Jesus to speak to us and the Holy Spirit lead us on what to say to people. God does use us. But in the end, it's not our power. It will be Jesus's power. And another thing, though, that is very important in here is we want to give each other, uphold each other. We want to uphold each other's spirit, restore each other. If I sin, please love me and restore me. Please stand by me. Please forgive me. Please pray for me. Please support me. Who among us doesn't sin? Because the issue is about if we continue to do that sin over and over and over and don't care what we're doing, that's different than saying, I sin, Lord, forgive me. Friends, stand by me. We in spirit stand by each other, and John is telling us that. We revitalize each other. In 17, it says, all wrongdoing is sin. And there is sin that does not lead to death. Sin is anything against God's will. Anything that we even accidentally put a wedge between us and God's will, or that we momentarily think our way is the best, or think we know the decision, or which way to go, or how to handle things. And we make decisions based also on temptation, on the flesh, of the world's offerings to us. And no matter how strong of Christians we are, we do make our mistakes because we are human. And we can and will be forgiven if we can say to our Jesus Christ, look what I did. Do you think he doesn't know? He knows. Why do you think he wants us to tell him and confess it? Why is confession so important? That's an open question if you want to answer it. Yes?
Well, the least of them would be, say that again, the least of them would be we can get ourselves into a quandary just by thinking.
He wants us to know.
Yes.
Yes. That's right. He knows everything. But if we're not willing to see ourselves, if we're not willing to be honest with ourselves, if we're not willing to tell ourselves what we did, then do you think Jesus waves a magic wand and forgives it anyways when we're not even ready to receive that forgiveness? We're not even ready to change? We're not even ready to let ourselves be transformed? We can't just walk around and say, forgive me in advance for everything I'm about to do, and therefore I'm covered. So, yes, we can be forgiven. It's a long list of things we can do that are against God's will, including every thought. And I am not happy to say I have my fair share of bad ones. Every word. And I don't always have nice stuff coming out of my mouth. I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm in the middle of transformation. The half is transformed, I do great. The half that still has to be transformed, I do not, right? And I think you're all with me on that. So every thought, every word, every deed, and every lack of a deed that deep in our hearts we know we should have done. When we turn our backs and avoid it, too much work, too much time. That also. And we've been learning a lot in our Monday night life groups about asking God, when we sit down to pray, not just coming out with, dear Lord, I exalt you, and now it's my turn. Here's everything I want. Here's everything I want you to heal. Here's everything I want you to take care of. But we need to first say, dear Heavenly Father, always thank you, and I exalt you. And let me listen before I speak. Let me be silent. You tell me, Lord, your will. Impart it to me in thoughts. I know when it's yours, because they're not mine. I know when you speak to me, tell me your will, and I will pray in your will. So we are able to pray his will by first listening. Isn't that right, Mary Ann?
Yes, ma'am.
And Debbie, we're in the Monday night group. Monday night. We need everyone there on Monday nights, 7 p.m. We have a lot of life together in Jesus Christ. In verse 18, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Operative word, continue. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We are in Jesus, and Jesus in us, and Jesus in God, and us in God through Jesus. We are born of God. We are born of Him. We are given that birth through Jesus Christ. We do sin. We do make mistakes. We do have a fleeting thought. Even the best of us think things and say things that Jesus would say. I think we need to correct that. It's the truth. But Jesus keeps us safe. He surrounds us. Satan cannot stand against Jesus. We all know that. Satan cannot stand against Jesus. He cannot stand against Jesus, the victorious one, the powerful one, the sovereign one, the King is over all. We do not have to worry about being captured by this earthly, worldly Satan, because we have the kingly, divine spirit, Jesus.
Amen.
Living in us, living with us. We don't have to worry about the evil one. And why is that? Because we are children of God. We are born of God. Jesus protects us. In chapter or verse 19, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. But what are we? We are preserved. We are sanctified, meaning in the process of being changed, in the process of being transformed, in the process of becoming more and more like Christ. So even though we have an evil one in this world, our heavenly Jesus, our heavenly God, has us covered. And we know they are victorious. They rule. They're sovereign. They love. They love you. I say they. We have God the Father, God Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they are one. And they are three. And they are in communion with each other. And they communicate with each other. And they work together under the sovereign God, who is the head. But Jesus is the King. And He's the Redeemer. And they have us covered. They have us covered by living in us. They have us covered by having died for us. They have us covered by redeeming us and reconciling us back. And we know that in the end, even now we're in His kingdom. Even now we're in His kingdom. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven. Kingdom is here. Jesus is here. We're in it. We're in it. And He preserves us, and He changes us, and He covers us. In verse 20, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. We are in God because we are in Jesus. And Jesus is in God. And we are in God through Jesus Christ. He is the true God and the eternal life. What joyful scripture. We can now know and understand that in our spirits, having accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that He is living in us and He's changing us, and He gave us His Spirit in exchange for ours, and we are living in His walk. Living with Him. What a joyful thing. He is the truth. The truth is freedom. You always hear, the truth will set you free. It does. The truth of Jesus Christ is freedom. freedom for our spirits. In the last verse, John ends with a, I think, a strange ending. It's a warning. After all that, victorious, here's his warning. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Stay away from false gods. That's what that means. It's very important. Why? Why is that so important? Because false gods can be alluring. They can be tempting. They are a way for us to conform with many people in the world who are worshiping false gods. They're a way for us to be not ostracized and criticized because we won't accept these false gods. Hinduism, hundreds of gods. Islam, Allah, they teach evil. They teach hatred. And they teach to not believe in Jesus Christ. We have Buddhism, we have Jainism, we have religions that unless you go to an international religion class, it's more than we can name. And all of these people are worshiping false gods. We have to stay true to our one God. Even in the midst of being criticized, even in the midst of being told Christians are dogmatic, Christians are narrow-minded, Christians don't accept other people, Christians are not tolerant. They just beat us up, right? We have to stand strong, and who helps us stand strong is the Holy Spirit living in us. We are up against that, and it is okay. Nothing upsets God. Nothing upsets God more than us worshiping a false God. How dare us? Think about that. In all that he did, our God who created us, our God who redeemed us through his son, who went through torturous things and died to forgive us, to cleanse us, to give us his spirit, to make us change, to transform, to be like him. How dare us worship a different God who is not even true?
Amen.
That's why God says, don't do that. Don't do that to me. It pulls you away from me, says God. It is the biggest sin. It is named as the biggest sin. And don't fall into that trap, because there are times even false prophets who will take the Bible out of context to either send you on a wrong pathway or to talk you into something that is not the truth. I think John ends this book with this beautiful warning, because we can sin and we can be forgiven, but do not reject Jesus Christ and do not turn away from God to some other means. I have recently seen on Facebook and other social media, there's kind of a, I don't know, I'm going to call it a new movement, but it's probably an old movement. But I see a lot of people saying stuff like, I don't think children should be taught to believe in Jesus or Christianity, because then you're putting your own opinion on them and they should decide in the world for themselves what they want. And I think they should explore all the different gods and decide for themselves because they're free. You see, We have this culture in our world where the world wants you to have worldly freedom. They want you to say everything is acceptable because we're a very accepting culture. We're a very tolerant, loving culture. And Christians, be quiet. You dogmatic people, you narrow-minded people. No, don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. Jesus Christ lives in us. And there's only one God, and we are his children. Thank you to John for his truthful word. I'm going to pray our closing. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we can't thank you enough for the word that you give us, your word, your truth. How you show us yourself through your word, how you show us Jesus through your word, how you show us the Holy Spirit through your word, how you beckon to us and teach us and cleanse us and transform us all the time we ponder your word. All we need to do is grab on to you and what you have to say to us, and you have us covered. You're forgiving. You love us. You live in us. You redeemed us. You have us covered. We ask for protection against the evil one in the world. Let us not be tempted to join in and conform. Let us speak out even when people can't stand us. But Lord, we'll be true to you. We promise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.